clothed in majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice. Trembles at his voice.
Sing it out this morning. How great!
How great!
Continue in worship. This is a new song. It says we have one hope and one help. That's Christ Jesus our Lord.
What is our hope in life and death? Christ alone, Christ alone. What is our only confidence? That our souls to Him belong, who holds our day within His hands. What comes apart from His command, and what will keep us to the end? The love of Christ on which we stand. Can calm the troubled soul. God is good,
yes,
God is good. Where is His grace and goodness known? In our great Redeemer's blood, who holds our faith when fears arise, who stands up.
Sing, hallelujah. to the grave, one will we sing. Christ, he lives, Christ, he lives, and what reward will heaven bring? Everlasting life with him, there we will rise to meet the Lord. It's sin and death will be destroyed, and we will feast in men's joy when Christ is ours forevermore.
Live a life that says, yes, here I am, send me. It's our one heart and our one desire to point others to the King today and to point our hearts to remembering the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ.
This is my desire to honor.
Pray that today there will be nothing in between us and you. We pray that no sin would be left unrepented, Lord. We pray that no relationship would be marred, that they would be sewn back together with your love, and that today we would realize just how great you are, just how good you are, just how faithful you are to us, that you provide mercies that are new every morning, that we should magnify your name every moment of the day and pray without ceasing. Today we will celebrate the mission that you have completed in Zambia, sending a church from Mobile, Alabama across the world with your name on their lips. Pray that everything that we say and everything that we do will be pleasing to you today. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This is a special song for us. We have been going through the Psalms. We had a whole Psalm night last summer. And we did not get to do this one, and I've always wanted to. Psalm 34. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And that's the only thing you will taste, because he is a good God. Amen. He's a just God as well, but once you are in him, you will taste nothing but his goodness and his grace. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said these past 2 years were difficult. Where was God in this, they said. And I said, at every moment I can see in every pain there was a blessing. And he is a good, good God. Amen. I saw the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from every fear. Those who look on him are radiant. They'll never be ashamed. They'll never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard me. And he saved me from my enemies. The Son of God surrounds his saints. He will deliver them. He will deliver them. The Lord, oh, all you say.
our incense rise.
David left and told me a long time ago that this would be a Sunday that I would be in the pulpit. He asked me to share about everything the Lord did in our trip to Zambia, and he wants me to walk through and just share with you, because you were just as much as part of this team as the 13 that went. And so I'm going to briefly share some stories of what the Lord did, and then we have a video we're going to show. And then I have a very short Father's Day message after that. So we went and worked with Wes and Lori Wilcox. None of you have probably met them, except the 13 that were on the trip. I met them 18 years ago. They served with the International Mission Board. They retired from the mission board in order to spend the rest of their days in Zambia, reaching Zambians for Christ, discipling them, and sending them out to reach their own people. They will be buried there, and they are there for the rest of their lives, and they are the most wonderful, challenging people to be around. I can't wait for them to come to Luke 4:18 and for you to get to meet them in person. The emphasis at New Day Orphanage is a Christian worldview. For them to have a Christian worldview, for them to have a quality education, and them to keep them in a Zambian culture, to send them out as believers into the world. It sounds a lot like what we do here, right? Know the Lord, grow in the Lord, and go for the Lord. And that is the desire of New Day Orphanage, is to exist to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Each morning, our team got to share devotions. They got to sit down with the children before they went to school. All of the orphans come together, and each of our team members had an opportunity to teach them a morning devotion, start their day off with scripture, and point them towards the Lord. Many of them have already accepted Christ. Some have not. We actually had one that was asked about their relationship with the Lord by a team member and accepted Christ while we were there. And what a blessing that was. They also hire workers to come in from off campus, and those workers are required to be at morning devotion. They're required to sit under the Word of God. And they purposely hire these people who live close by for the very sake of being able to spend the day with them and to pour into them and to point them to Christ. I'm reminded of Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell richly within you. What we found is they start their day talking about the Lord in Scripture. They continually pour Scripture into everyone there all day long. One of the things we were asked to do while we were there was conduct a staff retreat. They have been through COVID just like we have. The missionary, Lori, actually was diagnosed with cancer and came to MD Anderson right before COVID hit. And the Zambians had the entire orphanage to run all by themselves. And so they were in charge of everything. They had to handle all the problems that came throughout all of the time of COVID. And then, praise the Lord, Lori is in remission. She is back over there serving. But they were weary. They were tired. They were ministering or working in their own strength. And they said they just needed some time to pull back and remember that serving the Lord is good. And so Melanie, Elliot, and myself took time to just refresh them in the Word. So we spent time teaching them, reminding them who they are, remembering their purpose and how they serve. They had had some personality conflicts that they needed to work through, and we talked through scripturally how we can serve the Lord together even when we disagree. One of the neat things we did, and I think there's a video, yeah, they're showing that now. We lined them up, and we said, let's just remember how the Lord uses one another. And we asked them to tell each other something good that they see in them. Remind them, I see the Lord in you when you do this. You know, so often we don't take time to encourage one another, right? So often we see good things in people, but we don't always stop to say, you know what, that blessed me. And we watched them go down the row, and then they would shift and tell the next person whether they saw the Lord doing in their life. And they would shift and remind the next person how good God was in and through them. And it was such an encouragement for them just to remember that serving the Lord is good and serving the Lord is worth everything. And so we took that opportunity to pour into them. While we did that, the rest of the team had all of the orphans. They were in charge of school all day long. They were in charge of PE. They were in charge of snack time. They were in charge of Bible stories. They were in charge of teaching. So our team taught in the classroom. They taught in the school all day long, and they did a phenomenal job teaching. The teachers had left lesson plans for them, but for them, I think we have some pictures of the teachers, our teachers, your teachers, some of the people you recognize teaching in the classrooms. They were able to share Bible stories, do crafts with them, and really get to know the kids throughout their day. One of the other things that New Day does, and they don't exist just for those 50 orphans. There are 50 orphans that they invest in all the time. But on Saturdays, which would normally be a day of rest, that should be their off day, they have a heart to reach the community around them. And so they host what they call Kids Club, and they invite any kids that want to come, anybody that can get there, and literally the kids just walk through the bush all by themselves, and they show up at the gate on Saturday, knowing that they're going to get to play with the other kids, they're going to get to play on the playground, they're going to get to hear a Bible story, and then they're going to get a warm meal. And on the Saturday we were there, 301 kids walked through the bush, showed up, and our team got to play with them. They played soccer, they played basketball, they played on the playground, they did color chalk, they just engaged them relationally. After that, we shared with them the Bible story about Jonah. The team acted that out. I wish you could see the whole video. It was phenomenal to see our team literally act out the story of Jonah and share with them that we serve a God that loves them, that pursues them, and wants a relationship with them. And then after that, they lined up and they walked through and they got a warm meal. Might be the only guaranteed warm meal that they got that day, but they lined up and they got a meal of enshima and beans and cabbage, and they were so grateful to have that. And I ask that you would continue to pray for those 300 that came that day. The orphans are getting the gospel all the time, but these 300, they don't always hear. But that they would continue to come and they would accept the forgiveness that comes only from Christ. And so pray for them. Another thing that we did was we went out into the villages. We went and literally walked down the paths and found a set of huts, and we walked up into their area, and we asked to get to know them. We asked them about their family. They would offer us seats, and we would get to know them, and then we would ask them what they believed about eternity, what they believed about God, and they would share, and we would share the gospel with them, and we had the opportunity to see others come to faith in Christ, sitting on a stool in the middle of a path down the road, just 10 or 15 minutes off of property. Others we invited to come to the Zambian church that is near Dude, and we saw people show up the next morning that had not been to church yet, but because our team walked down the path and sat down with them and invited them, they came to church. Now, Zambian church is much like ours. They have worship, and they have time in the Word of God. Their worship goes a little bit longer. Aaron took about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. They take an hour, hour and a half, just getting warmed up. I wish you could hear it. I wish I could play you the whole worship service. It's phenomenal to hear them singing to the same God that we serve in their native tongue. We had the blessing that Elliot got to be our pastor for the day, and he did a phenomenal job. Elliot preached for our worship service, and Ross taught our Sunday school class and did a phenomenal job as well. It's always fun to see our people engage cross-culturally. The next thing we did, we went to a local school. The missionary and I went early in the week and asked for permission for us to come to a school that was about 4 miles away. And they said, absolutely, bring your friends and y'all come and share with our kids. And so we did. We showed up, we got off the bus, and they began to gather around, and we had one new soccer ball. And they were so enthralled that we had a soccer ball. They were so excited they were going to get to play soccer. But before that, Ross was in charge of some games. He played games that let us get to know them a little bit. He played games that made us laugh together. We broke down the barriers, right, cross-culturally. We engaged them in order to have the opportunity to sit them down and tell them about our Jesus. And Matthew shared at that school, and I want to say that it was his first international mission trip. Is that right, Matthew? And it was the most clear cross-cultural, through translation, presentation of the gospel that I've ever heard. And many raised their hands saying that they wanted to accept Christ, or they wanted more information about the Lord. And the other teams that are coming this summer are going to be going back to that school and making sure that they understood what they were doing, and discipling them and getting them plugged in. So many more things that I could tell you. We're going to have a video that's going to, pictures tell 1,000 words, so I'm going to shut up here in just a second. But I want to talk about our team. We had an amazing group. Phenomenal. They were trained. They were ready. They were excited. They were scared. They were worried. But they were willing. And they were flexible about travel. They were flexible about COVID tests. They were flexible when all of the plans changed. They were flexible on bumpy roads. They were flexible with different foods. All for the purpose so that they might be able to tell others about our God. One of the things I want to show you some pictures of is the sign. And when you drive into New Day, there's a sign. And Kelsey was asked to paint that. I don't know if y'all know how talented she is. She's a phenomenal artist. But her heart is teaching. She is a teacher. And so she had to miss school to be able out here painting this sign. And she was willing to give up what she really wanted to do for what they needed us to do, and it turned out just amazing, and everybody who comes on property now will see that. But there's one part of the team I haven't talked about, and that's you guys. And I just want to stop and say that without y'all, we couldn't have gone. Without you praying for us, we never would have seen the Lord work. Many of you gave financially so that we could go. Our team was completely funded months before we left, and that was just the Lord preparing the way. Many of you wrote encouragement cards, and again, I wish I had a video of them opening those cards every morning and just being reminded people back home are praying for us today, and we're going to go out and do what we told them we were going to do. And so thank you for your part in sending our team to Zambia. We're going to show a video. It'll give you a little bit better picture of what happened, and then we're going to shift gears and talk about Father's Day.
Thank you. is my fifth time to come to Zambia, and I just really love this place for so many reasons. One of the things I love is that every time I come, God gives me opportunities to serve and to be used in different ways and in ways that I least expect it. Everybody that comes on these trips has different gifts and talents, and God, it's really just cool to see how God uses each one in different ways. And I also love just getting to spend time with the missionaries and to be able to hear their stories and encourage them, as well as the workers here, the local Zambians that work here at New Day. I just love hearing how God has brought them here to this place and how he is using them. And of course, just spending time with the children here, they are full of joy and full of life. And we have so much fun with them. So Zambia holds a special place in my heart, and I love it here.
The biggest thing I learned at this in Zambia is that to appreciate what I have, and what I have at home is so much more compared to what they have here. But they are so much more joyful here than what I am at home, and it's given me a new perspective on life, my faith, that these kids and these workers don't have a lot, but they have more faith than I do, it seems like, in situations. And I'm grateful for this perspective, so that now I'm able to challenge myself to do more with less and have more faith in my walk with Christ.
To Zambia, and I had no expectations, but even those no expectations were completely rocked and changed. The joy that these kids have and that the people here have over just the simple things that we take for granted and that we probably don't even acknowledge, it's very contagious, and you just want to take it back and you want to love the Lord like they do in such a simple way. I think oftentimes we get caught up in all of the extra stuff that we miss what God's truly trying to teach us and call us to, and that's just to love him and spend time with him and just to share him. And it's been so encouraging and just life-changing to go to the villages and watch them share the gospel and see them respond and ask questions and even try to understand it. And it's been very encouraging and life-changing and completely changed what I thought Africa would be like in our time here in Zambia. And I think it's something everybody should experience.
Going to Zambia has been a life-changing experience. From the beginning, seeing God's provision and working to get us there, and then seeing his creation as we travel to a different continent, continues to have me in awe of our Creator. And I have never seen a night sky as I did in Africa. But while there, my eyes were open to a different culture, which caused me to be thankful for so many things that can be taken for granted, but also showed me how unimportant and temporal some of the things I care or focus on really are. But it allowed me to refocus on the internal and refresh me to live a life on mission no matter where I am.
been such an encouragement to me every morning when I open them, and it's always something I need to hear, and it just encouraged me and carries me on throughout the day as I interact with the children and staff here at New Day.
There were so many things I learned in Zambia, but one of the main things I learned was being completely dependent on Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in us. One of the first nights, Papa West told us that our team would be stretched this week. And for me, what that means is that sometimes we have to get out of our comfort zones, because here we often depend on our own talents and gifts and abilities to make things go well. But even those talents and gifts and skills come from the Lord. And so by being stretched, we're in situations that we've never been in before, and we have to ask the Lord to work in us and through us. And that's when we're able to see the abundantly more that the Bible talks about. And so what I would encourage you, when God calls you to be stretched or to go wherever that is, to be obedient to that and to listen to the Holy Spirit's guiding.
Hey, just want to give an update of kind of what God taught me while I was in Zambia. One of the things of many that God kind of opened my eyes up to was just really how big He is. To go to a place where they speak English, but it's not always great English, and then go out into the villages where, for the first time in my life, to go out and have a Bible study and talk about baptism in a place that I will never be able to find again on Google Maps, a place that I have no clue how to get back there. But God spoke and God moved. And so it was so encouraging, kind of that big picture moment of, man, God is huge. God's gospel is for all people. And I was constantly reminded the entire week we were there, as we were listening to the Zambians singing Tonga songs and praising God and hearing them teach the Bible and read the Bible, was a picture from Revelation of all nations, tribes, and people groups singing and praising God before the throne. And it was just a reminder that that's what we're working towards. That's where we're headed. And we have a lot of work left to do. And so it was so encouraging just to be able to see our God is huge. The mission is great, but it's worth it.
One of the things that stood out to me while in Zambia was how welcoming and genuine the Zambian people are. We would show up to their residence unannounced. And they would pull out stools and tarps for us to sit on. They were respectful towards us and eager to hear what we had to say. But specifically for New Day, they have a culture that is Christ-centered. They are fed spiritually multiple times a day, and they wear Jesus. Like, you can see Jesus in them. It's contagious and encouraging to see the joy they have in Christ and the joy they have in the ministry that they do there. And I am truly grateful that I have the opportunity to be a part of that.
I highly encourage you to come. It lets you share your faith in Jesus to people who may not get to hear it all the time. I enjoy getting to play soccer with these kids, and through that, they get to see the gospel of Jesus in me, and that just makes me really happy.
This was my very first international mission trip. I've never been out of the country before, and I can honestly say that the Lord taught me so much that I didn't expect Him to teach, and so much that I didn't prepare myself for. While it was challenging, it was so rewarding, and I think the thing that I learned the most was that the Lord can use you anywhere, number one, and number two, He can teach you to trust Him through a lot of different ways. And I think the thing I learned the most was that I wasn't trusting God enough, and that you truly can trust God with anything. My favorite part about New Day was the kids. Obviously, they were just so great, and it was so fun to love on them and just get to know them, spend time with them, and to share God's love.
Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness clear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets
Amen. Now you know why I love that place. You know, as I was thinking about how to share about Father's Day, and now I do recognize the time, don't panic. I was reminded that all of these orphans have no father. Many of them had no mother. Sometimes they're brought to the orphanage without even a name or a date of birth. And you know, I think about sharing on Father's Day, it was like, what am I going to say? Many of you are like me, and you've already lost your father. I remember just over 15 years ago getting a phone call. My father went to bed and didn't wake up, and I miss him terribly. So many of us have great relationships with our father. Some of us are parents and trying to figure out how to be fathers, and I just didn't know what to do and what to speak about. There's so many emotions involved there, but I ended up looking, and I want to turn to Luke 15, and we're going to talk just for a few moments about the prodigal son. Just be reminded of our Heavenly Father, because one thing that we can all celebrate this day is that there is one. There is one that loves us more than our earthly father ever could. There is one that loves my children more than I could ever do. And so we're going to celebrate and look to that just for a few minutes as we walk through this parable that we're so familiar with. You know, the parable of the prodigal son is one that is one of the most well-known parables that Jesus told. We all know the story. It's easy for us to identify. I know it's easy for me to identify with the prodigal because we've all fallen short. But it's not basically just about the prodigal son. It's not basically about the older brother, but it is about the father's love for both of his sons. And so look with me in Luke 15, beginning in verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." See, they were accusing him of spending time with those sinners. And so Jesus responds by telling not one, not two, but three stories, all of which were about something that was lost. He talked about the lost sheep. He talked about the lost coin. He talked about the lost son. And these three parables all point to the same truth this morning, and that is that the lost matter to our Heavenly Father. That which is lost matters to our Father in heaven. Now, the Father in this parable is a picture of the love of God. It's a beautiful picture of the love of God for all of us. And the prodigal in this story is a picture of a life of sin. You know, every believer needs to be reminded of this story. I need to read this story again to remember how much my Father in heaven loves me. Every sinner needs to hear this message, because no matter how far they are separated from God, there is forgiveness available to them. We all need to be reminded of our deep, deep need for the Lord Jesus Christ and for our Heavenly Father, whether we realize that need or not. So pick up with me in verse 11. And Jesus said, "There's a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property among them." See, this request by the younger son was a declaration of independence from the father. It was him saying, "I don't need you anymore. I want to be independent from you. I don't want to sit under you." You know, sin starts when we want to be independent from the Father, doesn't it? Sin begins when we don't want to submit to the authority over us. You see, there's a streak of rebellion in each of us. We all strive for independence at times. We all resist God's control over our lives. And that's why you and I identify with the prodigal son so well. Think about it, the audacity to go to his dad and ask for his inheritance before his father passed away. You know, I never asked my dad for my inheritance, but I heard him talk about it many times. He used to tell his friends all the time, when I die, this is what I'm leaving to my kids. One of them's going to get half the bills, and the other one's going to get the rest of the bills. And I've started telling my kids the same thing. You know, that's kind of how that's going to work, so there's no reason to ask for their inheritance early. Basically, this son was saying, you're dead to me, and I'm dead to you. And I don't care about my relationship with you any farther. What I care about is what you can give me. How many times in life are we more concerned about what the Lord can give us instead of our relationship with him? Because if we miss out on this, if we miss out on being in right fellowship with him, abiding with him, dwelling with him, walking with him, then what he gives us is going to be pointless. And we see in this story how this plays out. Shockingly, the father in this story gave the inheritance to the son. Look at with me in verse 13. Now, many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country where he squandered his property in reckless living. And when this boy received his inheritance, he not only moved out of his father's house, but he moved out of his father's country. He went from where he was, a Jewish young man, relocated to a pagan country in order to get away from his father's control. You know, he no longer wanted to submit to his father's authority. He no longer wanted to receive his father's permission. He no longer wanted to be home by his father's curfew. He wanted to be his own man. He wanted to be his own person. This shows how he wanted to be separated from his father, but how we want to be separated from God. Now, this reminds me many years ago when I graduated high school, and many of you have heard my story. I couldn't move out of my house quick enough to go off to college. I wish I could tell you that I went to Auburn in order to get a higher education. But I wish I could tell you I went to Auburn with my father's full blessing. But I wanted to move out of the small town. I didn't want to have a curfew anymore. I didn't want to have anybody telling me what to do. I wanted my own life, and I was so excited to go and begin that life. You know, but that's not a new story, is it? We know in Genesis, there was a man and a woman who lived in a garden with our Heavenly Father, had no problems, had everything provided for them, had everything that they needed for life and happiness and joy, with only one stipulation. But they didn't like that control, and the enemy came and found a way to whisper in their ear and say, you know what, there's something else that he's holding away from you that would bring you more joy. It's the same thing that happened to the prodigal. It's the same thing that happened to me. Somehow I didn't find my full satisfaction in my Heavenly Father, and I went to go look for it in another place. The prodigal couldn't find his full satisfaction, and he went to go look for it in another place. Like the prodigal, we don't want the Father to be in control, but we want all that God has to give us. Prodigal asked for financial independence. It's interesting that he wanted to move away, but he needed a starter loan to get started out. I don't want you to have anything to do with me, but I need all that you have in order to go do what I want to do. You know, we miss out on the truth that he's the one who provides everything for us. Our unrighteousness is revealed when we refuse to acknowledge what he has obviously already done on our behalf. What he continues to do for us, and our great, great need of him. One of the things that we were reminded of over and over while we were in Zambia was that they were so content with what they had. And each of us on the team were so confronted with the things that we find that we need in order to be content, when all we need is the Lord Jesus. Now, the story doesn't tell us what all was involved in the prodigal spending spree, but we know he squandered all of his money on reckless living, and we know that he had a really good time. He was living it up. Now, I'm not one of those people that say all sin is no fun and there was no joy that he had in that moment, but I can tell you the consequences for his sin were real. The consequences for my sin is real. The consequences for all of us when we sin is real. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death, and that is so true. Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." The truth that he was suppressing was that he didn't need his father. The truth he didn't understand was he didn't need his father. In the same way, when we try to find our own path and pursue our own righteousness in our own ways, we suppress the truth that we need our heavenly Father. Look with me in verse 14. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine came across that country and he began to be in need. See, it was all big and fun until he spent all his money. It was all a good time until the recession hit and the party was over. And this is where the dilemma of his life of sin began to be confronted. He wanted freedom. He wanted to be his own man. He wanted to go and do whatever he desired. But when he got to the end of that, he found himself in a very empty place. You know, at some point we all have to choose. At some point we have to decide if we're going to remain in sin or if we're going to choose the righteousness that comes only from God the Father by his love through his gift of his Son. Hebrews 11 tells us about Moses, who had to make a similar decision. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of fleeting sin. You know, that is what it is. It's a fleeting pleasure, passing, very short-lived. But after that, the consequence comes. And somewhere in life, we've got to choose if he is going to be our Father, our Lord, our Savior, and he's going to rule over everything in our life. Because when we do, we stand under that umbrella and we receive those blessings. There's a quote, "Our life will soon be past, and only what is done for Christ will last." The prodigal son learned a hard lesson when life caught up with him. Look with me in verse 14. When he had spent everything, the famine came across the country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have much more than enough bread? But I will perish here with hunger." See, it wasn't until he had spent everything, it wasn't until he found out that he had nothing, that he began to recognize how good his father had been for him, how good his father always was to him. See, he remembered the hired servants in his father's house were well taken care of, but there he found himself wanting to eat with the pigs. And he said, "I can't live like this anymore. I can't do this anymore. I need to go home to my father's house. I need to go home to my father's house." You know, my dad, I wish y'all had known him. He was a real piece of work, but he loved me. He tried to point me in the right direction, and he invested in me. I remember him pulling my car over the ditch to teach me how to change my oil. And I crawled up under there and said, "Dad, I don't know why you're doing this. I'm going to make enough money. I can just pay somebody to do this." He hit his head when he sat up to fuss at me. Oh, how many times I've reached for the phone to ask my dad how to fix something on my car. My washing machine's broke at home this week. I wish he was here because he'd already have it fixed. You know, we don't realize how much our fathers mean until it's time has passed. And for this prodigal, he didn't realize how much his father meant to him until he found himself in that place. You know, when he found himself at rock bottom, when he desperately needed something, was when he looked back and realized what he had left behind. You know, I told you I went to Auburn for all the wrong reasons, and I did. I went to Auburn and pursued my own life. And years later, I found myself as unsatisfied and miserable as I've ever been in my entire life. And it was then that I said, "I need the Lord." And I was reminded of the verse, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." So after foolishly pursuing my own dreams, just like the prodigal, I turned to the Heavenly Father and I said, "God, would you forgive me?" I couldn't fathom that he would forgive me, but he did forgive me. Look with me in verse 18. I will arise and go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. Now, the last time he addressed his father, he asked for finances. He asked for him to give him money so he could go. This time he came back and he just asked for a job. Would you please just pay me like a common servant? Would you please just give me a little something? See, that's what happens when we pursue our own life. Somehow our pride eventually gets called out. And when we humble ourselves, when we realize that we are nothing and he is everything, when we realize his great love for us, we are overwhelmed by the love and mercy that comes only from the Father. And then we don't have to feel distant from God anymore because we know that he loves us. Look with me in verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you I'm no longer worthy to be your son. But the father said, servants, quickly bring the best robe and put it on him and bring a ring and put it on his hand and bring shoes and put him on his feet and kill the fattened calf. Let us eat and celebrate. For my son was dead and he is alive again. He was lost and now he is found. See, the heart of God celebrates when one prodigal comes home. When the prodigal came home, he found, listen to this, everything that he had been searching when he went away. He got a robe, he got a ring, he got identity, he got loved on, and then he left to go party, right? What did they do when he came home? The father threw a celebration of all celebrations because he was home. You know, only God knows what our soul really needs. Only our Heavenly Father knows what our spirit craves, and that is a right relationship with him. Only the Lord will fill the longing within our heart. Why wouldn't we want to do that? Because we have an adversary, because we have an enemy that wants to whisper and say there's some other way that we can be happy, because there's an enemy whispering that we need this in order to find joy. There's an enemy that's coming against us, whispering all of the wrong things. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus said, just come home. The father of the prodigal said, just come home. I won't get into the long story, but over the years, there were disagreements between me and my father. Just come home. There was always the opportunity for me to make that relationship right. Now, why would I share the story of the prodigal son on Father's Day? Why are we celebrating a prodigal on Father's Day? Well, and I know it's not the sermon you were expecting, but Brother David will be back next week. I spent the last 2 weeks surrounded by kids who had no earthly father, no earthly mother, no way of providing for themselves, and yet they found themselves surrounded by believers who were pouring the love of their heavenly father into them, pointing them into relationship with their heavenly father, watching people pass from death to life by accepting the forgiveness that only comes from Christ. Because I know that I've already lost my father, because I know that I've not been the perfect example for my kids, but I'm striving to be. But there's one example that is always faithful. There's one example that is always true. And we all share this morning, if we have accepted Christ, a relationship with the Heavenly Father. And if you're in this room this morning and you haven't accepted that relationship, can I tell you today that long ago he made a way for you to have the forgiveness of your sins and to be in a right relationship with him. We can find full satisfaction and joy only in him. No matter what we have done, no matter how far away we are, no matter how distant we feel, that relationship can be restored. He's given us a book with tons of instruction to tell us how it is that we might be in a perfect relationship with him. We've just got to want him and that relationship more than the fleeting pleasures of this world. He loves us more than our earthly father ever could. He provides satisfaction in ways that our earthly father never can. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And he loved us enough to pay for our rebellion at a great cost by sending his one and only son so that we might be restored into relationship with him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you this day for all that was accomplished in Zambia. Lord, we do pray for those who don't know the Lord there, that they would continue to be reached. Lord, that they might hear of the forgiveness that comes only from your Son. Lord God, we thank you for the fathers in this room. We pray that you would equip each of us in order to point our children to that which matters most, and that is you. And Lord, we pray right now as we enter this time of invitation that you would draw us back into perfect relationship with you. For those who have wandered off the path, for those who have been distracted by this world, for those who have been drawn away by the enemy to things that do not satisfy God, may we come home. Lord, those who have relationship with you but haven't experienced the joy and fullness of walking with you in quite some time, God, may you, by the power of your Spirit, draw them home. May they turn and run back into your arms this day. Lord God, we pray. Anyone in this room who knows about you, who's heard stories about you, but has never accepted the forgiveness that comes only through your Son, that today might be the day that they yield their life and accept the free gift of your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.